Now, will you notice this? And he's going to be very clear. Oh, this section here, I tell you, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty. Now let me read verse 21. It came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Now, Ezekiel had already prophesied it, but he had no information. God told him the city was destroyed. And at that time, his wife died on the very day. And he says, don't you grieve, because I want these people to know that I've repudiated that city. They think that I have to have Jerusalem. They think that I will not destroy it. They don't believe I'll judge sin. And he said, I am. Therefore, don't weep for her, and let them know that at this time the city is being destroyed for its sin. The city is smitten. Now, I want to tell you, when this was brought to these people, it was absolutely something that dumbfounded them. They were absolutely overwhelmed by it. They had never heard anything like it. They never believed that anything like this could possibly take place. But it's happened now. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening. This is verse 22. Before he who was escaped came and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open and I was no more dumb. Now you see, at the end of chapter 24, that time Ezekiel announced the destruction of Jerusalem, the bloody city. It's gone down now. From then on, he had no word about Jerusalem. From chapter 25 here through chapter 32, then no word about Jerusalem. It's all about these surrounding nations. Now, God no longer makes the man dumb about Jerusalem. He says, I have some messages for you about Jerusalem. Now we can begin to look to the future. These people were hanging on to the false prophets, and they had no word at all. Now he says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is verse 24 now, son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for an inheritance. They go back. They say, well, look, God took care of Abraham, and there's just one of him, and a whole lot of us. Yes, but there's a lot of difference. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. These people not believing God. That's the reason they've gone down. Verse 25, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? God says, I won't let you have the land. That's the reason I put the heathen and the pagan out of this land, is because of their sin, and you are doing the same things. Now, verse 28, for I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Now, I can't get elated as some of my very good minister friends do. When they get to that land, they get into ecstasy. You'd think they were on drugs the way some of them act. Oh, isn't it wonderful to see this land? Friends, it's just about as desolate as any place that you could possibly find today. That land is desolate because the judgment of God is upon it. All you've got to do over there is look, and today there's a big water shortage, and you put a little water on that land, and my, it blossoms like the rose. But there's not enough water. That's the great problem. Now, therefore, I would say we're not seeing prophecy fulfilled till they get a little more water over there. I suggest to these fellows that are going to find so much fulfilled prophecy, when they go over there, they'll take a gallon of water with them and help out, because God says it'll be desolate. And his judgment is not upon only a people, but upon a land. Now he goes on to say, verse 30, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the door of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. You see, they're shaken. They're going to listen to him now, but they won't follow through. And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You see, they like to come to church and hear all about love and nice, sweet, lovely things, but it has not changed their lives at all. Remember, James very practically says, he says, get down where the rubber meets the road. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's what these people were. Verse 33, and when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet had been among them. They now know that Ezekiel's a prophet. But now here's the interesting thing. They did not believe he was a prophet before. They now know he's a prophet of God, but they still don't listen to them. May I say to you that unbelief today is willful. It's not mental. That's not your problem, my friend. Your brain and my brain's not big enough to create a hurdle that you can't get over the Word of God and the problems. Your problem is you don't want to give up your sin. That was these people. And they were willing to come and listen. It had no effect upon them whatsoever. This is tremendous, is it not?